what an effort that is. A wonderful goal for Titus.
Brighton Albion are promoted to the Championship.
Middlesbrough's Premier League exile is over.
Any managers, hit me up on the WhatsApp.
Hello and welcome to the 72 show. I'm your host Anthony Kendrick, and joining me we've got Nick Davey.
Good evening.
Are you well, Nick?
Yeah, very well, thank you, mate.
No worries. So tonight's show we're focusing on the FA Cup fourth round and also transfer deadline day. And we've got a few other stories as well from the Football League which we'll discuss later in the show. I guess the first thing we've got to talk about is the FA Cup. We'll come on to the draw in a minute, but I guess there's only one place to start, and that's Sutton United. Their fantastic victory over Leeds beat them 1-0. Obviously, Leeds down to 10, but it was a fantastic result for them, a fantastic game. And yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was a real quality FA Cup. So I think you have to look at that game to prove that this is just simply what the competition's still alive and well. I think this game just proved everything. Leeds obviously resting a few players as you'd expect. Obviously, given their main priorities is obviously trying to get promoted to the Premier League. It's still at the end of the day, it's still a Leeds United team. Whatever Leeds United team you put out, it's to beat them is just remarkable. And it was one of the biggest shocks I've ever seen in the competition. And full credit to Sutton because I thought they were outstanding.
I'll come back to Leeds West End players, but what did you make of the pitch? Because it looked terrible, and I know there were a few people complaining about that. But is that just something?
Yeah, I know. It's obviously a 3G pitch. I think they're always going to sort of catch teams out, and you can say that was a big factor in Sutton's win. To me, I didn't think it was as bad as people are making out to be. I think playing on that sort of pitch would be a lot better than playing, say, on a really muddy, on like another muddy, non-league pitch that you see over time. I think we've seen a lot worse, put it that way.
Yeah, I was saying that if they do get promoted to the Football League, they'll have to get a new pitch sorted out. They're not allowed to play.
Not allowed to play in the Football League. Oh, I don't know how long until that rule will come into play. But, I think where they are on the table, I think they'll sort of be. I mean, they've just got promoted to the Conference Premier, so they'll be a couple of mid-table finish, which is a very good season for them in the non-league. Getting used to the level, they've got a good side there, so I don't think they'll be getting promoted this year. But obviously, when you're into the fifth round of the FA Cup, I don't think you'll be cared too much. I think, as I say, they'll be an absolute dreamland and. And I think they'll be absolutely delighted at where they are.
Yeah. The other non-league team, Lincoln City, obviously beating Brighton in the fourth round. I'll be honest, I didn't see the game. Did you see it? And if so, what did you make of it?
No, I was actually away over the weekend, so it was sort of pinned into my bed, really. But from what I did gather from the highlights, it was sounding like a game where Brighton were firmly in control of the game. Obviously, went 1-0 in the first half. But it's only like three moments of madness, really, and obviously in the FA Cup that does again. It was sounding like another classic FA Cup tie and a deserved upset for Lincoln. So three moments of madness from Brighton. There's the penalty giveaway, an own goal from the Ladderman from Chelsea, and some abysmal defending at the back, letting Theo Robinson get the third. But another full credit to Lincoln. Brighton could have been out of sight by half time, but they weren't. They dug in Lincoln, and in the end, they got three goals in the second half. And as I say, it's another fantastic story. Again, being a Brighton fan, I don't want to sort of diss on the cup in a way. I think it's another result that does us to favour, given the fact that we can firmly concentrate on the league now, given the position we're in. That's the only targets we want to achieve at the start of the season is to become a Premier League club. As I say, I do love the FA Cup to bits. I was feel gutted getting knocked out. But I think this is an exception, given how well we are in the league. That I think we have to really just we've got bigger fish to fry. I think, but full credit to Lincoln, outstanding performance, and just a shame it wasn't on the CV for them to get in the limelight again.
Yeah, Well, there's quite a few because, Leeds and Brighton I've obviously named, but Newcastle as well. Newcastle went out, they lost 3-0 to Oxford United. But for the big championship clubs, it's we talk about Premier League clubs, you know, almost disrespecting the club by playing weakened sides. But it's the same thing happening in the championship because Leeds, Newcastle, Brighton are all wanting promotion. And that's, as you put it, a bigger fish. You know, it's the main target for the season. And it's...
I could sound a bit biased here, given where my team is. I can actually almost understand, and I think it's almost one can be forgiven for doing it with Brighton, Newcastle, and they are in the Championship. I think, again, clubs, I think when I get annoyed at teams resting players is when you've got in the Premier League, they're sort of comfortable mid-table. I mean, I think we said it about Bournemouth against Bournemouth. The squad they've got, they had a great chance of winning the FA Cup. I think one of the, they could really look at Crystal Palace almost for inspiration last year and they could have gone all the way. Instead, they decided to rest the whole team and lost to Mills. So I think top end championship is where the situation that Brighton and Newcastle are in. I think that they've really got, that has to be your main focus on the championship, getting out of the league, especially the money that's knocking around these days. And you have to say the FA Cup is just a bit of a hindrance because you could even argue that they're probably not going to win the whole thing anyway. Mm-hmm. But in the Premier League, obviously, I think it's a bit more when you've. When you're comfortable in the Premier League, and obviously when you're one of the big boys, when you've got a lot of competitions like the Champions Leagues and stuff, that's when it's also sort of almost can be forgiven for resting players. But say when you're high in Premier League, high in sort of lower top half and top of the bottom half, I think that's when you can really sort of almost get a free way and really focus on the FA Cup. But I think Newcastle, Brighton, and Leeds that can almost be forgiven for resting players.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think probably for me, I guess the non-league side sort of stole the limelight, but Wolves going to Anfield and beating them 2-1, an incredible result. And in the first half, I thought they played amazing football. And, you know, Liverpool are in trouble, but nothing, you know, don't take anything away from Wolves and, you know, getting through to the next round.
Yeah, outstanding win by Wolves. And I thought there was some real great points about Helder Costa. He was absolutely outstanding. I thought, as I said, that first half by Wolves was brilliant. It was a proper professional play. They dug in, and they were just a threat. I thought it was almost similar to they looked very comfortable at the back. Liverpool rarely looked like trouble in them, and they were just looked firmly in control. And I think it just ticks all the boxes on an absolutely well deserved victory. Full credit to Paul Lambert. So he got his tactics spot on. But the Wolves players, I thought they were outstanding. All of the subs that came on as well, I thought they did their jobs to perfection. But it was just a very, very professional performance by Wolverhampton. And as I say, they fully deserved it. And say, I think with the non-leagues almost rightfully so, stealing the limelight this weekend, I think this result really needs to be spoken about higher as well. Because obviously going out, Anfield says it all. I know Liverpool still had some very big names out as well. And above all, you've gone... It doesn't matter what team Liverpool play, you're still playing Liverpool Football Club. You're playing at Anfield in front of the Kop, in front of a very big crowd, and you've gone there and you've signed. I mean, you've won a football match, and I think that just deserves the highest of credit as well to Paul Lambert and his men.
No, I completely agree, and it's a bit of a spoiler alert for the other show, but I saw that Helder Costa got performance of the week in our weekly Twitter poll as well. fully deserved. Moving on to Derby v Leicester, the only game in this round which ended in a draw and goes to a replay. I know in the third round there were loads of replays. We weren't really sure what much the draw would be, but comical own goal from Darren Bent, but then he put it right by scoring a decent header at the other end.
Yeah, it was a good game. I thought on Friday night, I enjoyed watching it on the telly. Yeah, absolutely brilliant from Darren Bent, that own goal. No, it's unfortunate. It's simply one of those things. It's a shame it's happened to him on the front of the BBC cameras. It's one of those things. He's just caught it horribly wrong and he's gone 1-0 down. His actual goal was superb. And I thought Derby played very well on them. Probably not, I thought it was a very good FA Cup tie. Both teams really going for it. Both teams really wanting to win. And I'm looking forward to seeing that and this is when the benefit of replays, we get to see the match all over again next week at the King Power. So for the neutrals, I think it's good these replays. I know Ranieri and McLaren probably would disagree that they want to watch this game again. It'll be a thrilling encounter, I think, next Tuesday. But say I thought it was a very good high energy game of football at the Ipro.
No, I completely agree. I'm looking forward to the replay, which is live on the BBC, which we always like to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably the most dramatic game, I think. Tottenham, they came back to beat Wickham 4-3. Son Heung-min scored a last minute winner. You know, another terrific FA Cup tie sort of game. Unfortunately, no shock or anything, but they were made to work hard for that victory over a League Two side.
Well, that was class, wasn't it? I think they deserve it. And to be fair to Wickham, they had a bit of, I think, campaigns was livid at the end of, with the, I think they were absolutely livid at the end with the more time that was played, apparently. But no, I thought Wickham, again, were absolutely outstanding. I know Tottenham, Tottenham making a lot of changes and the struggle, but Wickham to score three goals at Whitehall Lane is brilliant. And I thought they were just outstanding, but in the end, Tottenham just had that final burst of energy, and I think it proves exactly where Tottenham are in the table. Obviously, they're going for a Premier League title, and they just proved they have those key players to do that, and to pull magic runs out of the bag, and they certainly did that, Tottenham. But I think, again, enormous credit to Gareth Ainsworth and his players.
Mm-hmm. Apart from Liverpool, who we've mentioned before, the other big sides went through in the FA Cup. Chelsea beating Brentford, City beat Palace, a very good win for Arsenal, 5-0 victory over Southampton, which was hugely entertaining, I thought. And then Man United obviously beating Wigan 4-0. Not really a lot I can say about those games. I'm not sure if there's anything you'd like to...
I thought all of them did a very good job, and they all played very well. Chelsea in particular, and Brentford, they're outstanding. White Brentford away completely. They were very good. Chelsea, a very very strong performance. Man City, as I say, yeah, I think what we said about Premier League teams just struggled. Palace probably half an eye on trying to stay up, and I don't think Big Sam would be too disappointed about going out of the cup. Southampton, a bit surprised by the team they put out, given the fact they just had a very good cup success in the cup. But again, Arsenal outstanding, particularly Phil Walcott. And United, Wigan again, United getting the job done. Mm-hmm. I think they all played very well, but Chelsea in particular were a standout team. I thought this weekend, I thought they were outstanding.
Mm-hmm. I thought Wigan as well. I thought Wigan, I know the result that United won 4-0, but I did think Wigan put in a good performance. And, you know, first half, I thought it was pretty even. I thought it could have even gone the other way, you know, going into half time. And then Fellaini scores that goal on the stroke of half time, and that makes it a completely different game. But had they not scored, I think, you know, it could have went right down to the wire.
Yeah, I thought, same with United and Wigan. And, yeah, I thought Wigan. Dave Perkins, they're trying just before our time, that could have been a complete different game. I think over United, just that extra bit of quality over Wigan. And Wigan obviously a struggling side in the Championship. Again, they'll probably want to be out, almost happy to be out, and they can focus on, they've had a good trip to Old Trafford. But I think they'll be firmly trying to focus on trying to start now in the Championship.
Mm-hmm. Watford made a lot of changes in the cup as well, as we've obviously gone through before, and they lost 1-0 to Millwall. A difficult place to go for Watford, you know, Millwall at home when they get going.
Yeah, I thought Millwall played very well. A bit disappointed by Watford. I didn't think they played very well. And again, it's another club. They're not in danger of going down. They have a chance of winning the FA Cup, I think, here. They've got a great squad, Watford. They've really put their full focus on United. So you've only got to look at at Palace last year, they've got a great chance of going on, but again, they've rested a lot of players there, and it's cost them. And I thought, so not taking anything away from Mill, I thought Mill were outstanding, made it very difficult for Watford, and a good goal by Morrison. And you saw what it meant around the stadium as well to Mill. So you try telling anyone at Mill that the FA Cup's lost his magic, I think they'll run you out of London, because I thought they it really felt like a good old fashioned FA Cup, and it did mean a lot to the to the supporters of Millwall for that then, and into the fifth round, and if they can get the draws tied in, into the quarters, and I think it was a very good performance by Millwall.
I think after the game, Walter Mazzari, the Watford manager, apologised to the fans for putting out such a weak team. Fulham as well. Fulham, a very good result for them. They beat Hull 4-1. I know Hull were in the semi final of the League Cup as well, so maybe that was their priority. But performance of the round for me goes to Fulham's Ryan Sessegnon, the 16-year-old kid who I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, he's a very good player, and I think for sure he'll be in the Premier League sooner rather than later. But no, great win for Fulham. And it's one of those games where almost you look at it, and you probably said before the game, Fulham were probably favourites. I know it's the league difference, but given the fact that Hull are very strong in the Championship, Fulham are proven to be very good this season, especially at home. And I thought they were terrific. And in particular, Sessegnon, yeah, so he just looks the real deal, doesn't he? At 16 years of age, as I say, I think he's just got Premier League football written all over him.
I know Arsenal had a bid rejected on transfer deadline day, according to the papers, so maybe, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, it's going to be in the summer, isn't it? But no, it was been quite a funny moment that game. Abel Hernandez missing two penalties.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Which was one of my highlights of the round, as I say, isn't it? They're getting up, getting fouled, isn't it? But I think that's a sign sort of almost a whole season not having that luck. Full credit to Fulham. Terrific performance and into the fifth round of the FA Cup.
Yeah, the other games in the round, Huddersfield beat Rochdale, Burnley beat Bristol, Blackburn beating Blackpool, and Middlesbrough got a 1-0 win over Accrington Stanley. I don't know if there's anything you'd like to say about any of those games.
Yeah, I mean, with the Accrington game, credit to them going to Middlesbrough and holding them off for a while, and then they're unlucky not to get a replay out of it. So full credit to them, just couldn't get a job done. But Middlesbrough, let's say, are in a very strong position. And I think Middlesbrough, they'll be keeping half an eye open on the cup, because they're trying to get Oxford United out in the next round. Mm-hmm. Win that, they're in the top. Spoiler to
Okay. Now,
I think Middlesbrough could be a team now to look out for the rest of the FA Cup. As I say, Accrington, I thought they played very well, just unlucky. I also thought the Blackburn game, Blackburn seems to love these cup runs as well. Against Blackpool, things haven't really been going too well at Blackburn this season. And almost the FA Cup run, when you're in that position, it's almost a very welcome distraction for them. So if they can use the cup run, they could maybe even move up the table, helping them in the Championship.
Looking at the draw then, I guess, there's obviously the obvious big draw. Sutton United got what they wanted. They got a home tie against Arsenal. It's going to be on the BBC and is quite blatantly the tie of the round, isn't it?
Absolutely outstanding side. A shame. The only real shame, I think, would be nicer for them if they were away from home, playing at the Emirates. Obviously, for some of those players, that would never probably get a chance to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But no, all credit to them. It's a massive tie. It'd be a fantastic money making game for the football club. It will put something on the map for sure. And just as I say, it's not just a hard season's work. It's countless of hard seasons' work, and this is what you sort of, when you're a non-league club, this is what you just dream of, you work for these sort of games. And so they got to the fifth round, that's an achievement in itself, but getting Arsenal, as I say, it's what your non-league clubs live and breathe for.
Well, I saw before, because you would think they would rather the away tie. Arsenal, both, you know, playing at the Emirates and all that side of it, and financially, you know, it's a lot more money. But I saw that the chairman said before the game they'd rather have the home tie. He got asked before the draw what would be his dream tie, and he said a home tie against Chelsea or someone. But going on, I know there's talk about potentially moving the tie for because it's only 4,000 or 5,000, you know, for police reasons and all that. There's talk about possibly playing it at Crystal Palace, even.
Yeah, I mean, they've done that before. I think when Arsenal got drawn further away, they managed to move it to Highbury. I mean, it was back in the day, no Farnborough Cock, my dad's a Farnborough fan. And they moved that to Highbury. I was pursuing the thought, mate, I was sort of saying, straight away, I was thinking they're going to move that to the Emirates. But no, they've stuck by it. And as I say, it's fantastic for the Rangers of that Sutton's ground. I think, as I say, that'll certainly probably be the biggest team, the most famous team ever to visit Sutton's ground, as I say. It will be good to see sort of players like Sanchez, Ozil, whatever, what have you, if they're in the squad, of course, sure, almost see what proper football's about.
Yeah. The other...
It'll be good to see them getting changed in dressing room size of a broom cupboard and stuff like that. They won't have their usual luxuries. So I think that'll be... It's good, those ones, isn't it? It does prove to the big players. These players do have to sort of put up with this every week, not just one it's one game a season, but these players really play for the passion of football, and that's it. Every week they have to have these conditions, etc.
The other non-league side, Lincoln, they've got an away tie against Premier League side Burnley. Again, that should be a good tie, and that's also on TV.
Yeah, no disrespect to Burnley in the slightest, but Lincoln would have obviously rather a bit better than that. It's still, nonetheless, it's still a Premier League club, it's still a very big, it's a big stadium to go to. And they'll draw it, and above all, you could even argue that maybe they even got a chance of pulling off an upset. Again, Burnley, I think they're in a very good position now, obviously in the Premier League, to prove that maybe they can even put a bit of focus on the FA Cup and potentially win the whole thing. Man. So they've proven they're very strong at home. Mm-hmm. So they're playing some great football under Sean Dyche. They could have some great in the Premier League position. They're in the Premier League now. They're probably not going to get relegated. So they could even maybe even use the focus on the FA Cup a bit more. So you never know, they could go all the way and win it.
Mm-hmm. The other ties on TV, we've got Wolves v Chelsea, Fulham, Tottenham and Blackburn, Man United. Are there any other particular ties in the draw which you'd have maybe preferred on TV, or anything in particular you're looking forward to seeing?
I think the ties on TV are probably all okay. I mean, I think it was such a good draw that it was almost what one good game was always going to miss out on. And I think, the Huddersfield Man City game's not on Sky, but again, it's not on TV, sorry, because they physically can't get it on. Because I think it was such a good draw that obviously there's only so many games you can get on the season. I think they've done well for this one. As to say, Huddersfield Man City, it's a shame that one can't even get squeezed on the telly, but I think given all the other ties, it's hard to argue, really. But no, good, great draw in all fairness, but the one I'm looking forward to most is Sutton and Arsenal. Well, I think Fulham Tottenham would be a great game as well at Craven Cottage.
Mm-hmm. Not a single all Premier League tie, which is crazy, really. The odds of it are crazy. But then, well, I guess there's less Premier League sides in the Cup still compared to usual. Okay, so we'll move on to transfers and transfer deadline day. I'll start with the Championship. Aston Villa were a busy side. Scott Hogan joined from Brentford, who was probably the biggest sign-in. There was talk about him going abroad or to the Premier League, but he joins Aston Villa for about $8 million.
Yeah, great win for a great signing there, Villa. Obviously, they got, I think Brentford got their final bit of revenge. They got beaten 3-0 in midweek. But no, I mean, they're 10 points off the playoffs now, Villa. So you would be hoping he'll make a straight impact straight away. But no, it's a great signing for Villa, especially if McCormack hasn't turned out to be the player. He hasn't proven to be the player that they would hope he would be this season, McCormack. So I think Hogan joining that already great attacking thing with if him and Codger can get a good partnership going, that could be very frightening indeed for the rest of the season. So a lot of football to be played, so they're certainly hoping to get the hurt, not but they've got a very good player in line even for next season.
Yeah. Well, Steve Bruce has had a go at Ross McCormack for his attitude, hasn't he? He's one of many players who left on deadline days. I know he had I know Rudy Gusted's gone recently, as well as Ashley Wood, Westwood and Jordan Ayew left on deadline day as well. Quite a few outgoings. Henry Lansbury coming in though, an interesting signing from Forest. I know he was Derby made a bid for him as well, and their captain leaving and going to Villa. He's another one. Do you rate him?
Yeah, he's a very good player. I mean, again, you could say attitude problems. Thinking sort of again, yeah, actually, they're thinking they're bigger than the club. Through to mind with him at Forest, but no, he's as I say, it's a very good signing for Villa. He's a leader. That's something that Villa need, I think. He won't tolerate bad performances, bad attitude around Villa. So, no, I think that's another great sign. And Villa's certainly looking very strong for the remainder of the season.
Uh-huh. At Forest as well, looking at it the other way, with Ross McCormack signing, they also signed Bolton striker, 21-year-old Zach Clough, who's someone who I think we were expecting to be in the Championship for a while, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a great signing that. I mean, he is the real deal. He's proven he can score in the Championship. He's proven he's a very good player in the Championship. He's gone to League One and he's almost become a better player at League One level. So, no, it's a very good signing for Forest. And as I say, I mean, their main targets are just to be pulled away from that dreaded drop zone. Mm-hmm. And then keeping an eye open for next season, trying to get our team together for next season. And that's a very good start by a very good player.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Joao Teixeira joins on loan from Wolves to Forest.
Yeah, that's a good little player as well. So they've recruited pretty well, I thought, over the deadline day. I mean, the NFL, McCormack's a bit of a funny signing. I think it was early just to keep them up. But I know, obviously, they've made no plans that they want for next season. So I think it's only just to keep them up this season, that signing.
It's a difficult one, McCormack. It's one of them, like a change of scenery, and he might suddenly become, you know, become the goal scorer he has been before. It's one of them. I think it's genuinely a 50-50. It could go either way.
Absolutely, yeah.
Norwich, they lost Roy Brady and Martin Olsen earlier in the transfer window. I think two big losses, but, you know, they got decent fees. Robbie Brady, like 12 million, I'm hearing. They made an interesting signing there. The Wigan winger Yannick Wildschutter, I think, is a good signing for them.
Yeah, he's, I think that is a good sign. And again, it's just giving them extra quality. They're 3 points off the playoffs. So I think, yeah, it just gives them that little bit of edge. And I think he's proven, I think, with Wigan, the consistency he's had this season there, yeah, Wildschutter. So if Norwich can get the consistency out of them, they've got a very, very good signing there.
Mm-hmm. And Wigan as well. They were very busy. They've been very busy recently. They've got quite a few players who used to play at the United Youth Academy, presumably because their manager worked with them. Ryan Tunnicliffe, James Weir, Alex Bruce are all part of the academy, and Gabriel Obertan, who used to play for United, yeah. all coming into the club. You know, a lot of players there.
I think that's just using your contacts, really, isn't it, there? And no, they've certainly been busy. And one stuff I think that's a great one is Omar Bogle from Grimsby. Really happy to push up the league. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be a great signing for Wigan. But no, they've been busy, but they're in, obviously, in a very, very big, very sticky situation at the moment. So I think they'll be hoping these players can help them out. And they've recruited very well, I think, Wigan. I think they'll... As I said, they've got players to get them out of this mess.
Yeah, 19 goals Omar Bogle's got. I'm sure Grimsby would be very disappointed to lose him. But yeah, I think he can score goals in the Championship. Callum Connolly also has come in. It's not a deadline day signing as such. I know he came in on loan from Everton, but he's made a very good start. Scored a couple of goals already, and he's a defender.
Yeah, as I say, already he's proven if they can get the signs all like him, then I think they'll be... They'll be very chuffed at that. That's a good signing. And as I say, one Joyce clearly what he wanted. He's clearly got the players he wanted. So I think they're in a good situation. So as I say, that they just need to make sure that they put a good run together. But I think they've got a good squad now that can give them a good chance of staying up. Starting the ship for Wednesday on Friday night.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll move on to League One and talk about some of the transfers there. Just want to start with Swindon. They had a very busy day. They signed Rohan Ince from Brighton. What do you make of him?
Yeah, good signing for Swindon. I think he'll do very well in League One. He's been a bit unfortunate runs from Brighton. I think the fact that the club now plays 4-4-2, it doesn't really suit him. 4-4-2 is better. So when he's in a 4-3-3, but no, he's a very good holding player. He also had a bit of he can also have a threat going forward. Yeah, so I think he'll do very well at Swindon. He's obviously worked with Williams before at Brighton, so I think he'll thrive there on loan to the end of the season. I think he's only missed out, just the fact that the squad's got a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Chelsea youth pair Dion Conroy and Charlie Colcott have both moved to Swindon as well, and. But biggest signing probably Nicky Ajoze coming in from Charlton, who'll score some goals for them, you'd think.
Yeah, well, funny enough, I think when I was watching the Swindon Leeds game but on the telly, I don't know what month it was. All the Swindon fans were giving him a lot of stick. I think he used to play for Swindon, didn't he? So, I think they'll give him a lot of stick there. But he's proven he can score goals. He's proven he can score goals for Swindon. So, I think that's certainly what they'll want, given the fact where they are. Table, but again, they've recruited very well this transfer window. And the quality they brought in, they should be okay and staying up.
Mm-hmm. Probably the biggest story in League One, Matty Taylor. He's moved from Bristol Rovers to Bristol City, and he's got quite a bit of stick for that. And I saw that they're trying to sue them because there was a release clause in his contract, which they knew about, but it should be confidential. So I know they're trying to get to the bottom of that as well. But I'm sure he's not going to be a popular figure.
Oh yeah, ring across Christmas. Yeah, no, it's a very that's just, I think there's protests and all sorts going on now. No, it's a very good sign up in for Bristol City. They're in a, I think he's proven he's scored goals in for Bristol Rovers over his career in non-league only two. One now. However, yeah, it's very controversial. I don't think he'll be, over some parts of Bristol he'll be very welcome, pubs, etc. So it's a very bold move. But I think in a career move, it's a very good move. But as I say, I hope for his sake that he gets up to a good start. I mean, he can just simply focus on his football at Bristol City.
Yeah, he's got 16 goals this season. I'm sure he'll get a few more. Theo Robinson as well. We saw him play for Lincoln in the FA Cup. He's joined Southend as well.
Yeah, Theo Robinson's a great player. He's been very much a part of why Swindon, Lincoln have gone on this good cup run. And I remember seeing him back in the day when he played for Southend. He was scoring goals. So no, I think it's a very good, sensible signing. And he's still certainly got the pace about him, Theo Robinson. So no, very good signing for Southend.
Uh-huh. There's a few other deals. I've got some of the big names. Tom Saws played for Palace. Used to play in the Premier League. Had quite some potential. I know he's left Bury for Wimbledon. He's had a good season this year, and despite the club having such a poor season, I think he personally's done all right. And
yeah, it's a big bit of saying for certain sort of the area. So you have to feel that it's just he obviously returned to the area where it all began from. So. That's already good for him. He knows the area well, and a very good sign for Wimbledon. He's a good player. Obviously, we know back in the day he had loads of interest back in the day. He was a quality player for Palace, so we're going to be delighted with that.
Mm-hmm. Jack Armwick's left Port Vale to go to Rangers, and I've also got Conor McElhaney has joined Oxford on loan from Everton.
Yeah, good sign. And as I say, he's a young lad at Everton, very, very high there, and I'm sure he'll do pretty well there.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to League Two, Paris Cohen Hall has joined Wickham for a fourth time in his career. He's joined from Millwall, the forward.
Yeah, he's a good player, and I think at Millwall he got a bit hit, sort of a bit. His spell there was a bit unfortunate of injury, but he's a great winger. He loves to take on his. He can play out wide or up front. He's a very quick player. He's a very good player as well. And he certainly feels at home at Wickham. So I know he can laugh all about joining three or four times, but no, I think it's clearly a place he's settled back there permanently. I think it's very good. It's a very sensible move and a good sign.
Well, he's been a first team player, hasn't he? Because he's been there. He was on there. He was there on loan, wasn't he, before?
So I think it's a very good sign.
Not a done deal yet, but Sholo Amiobi is currently training with Notts County with the hope of getting a deal there.
No, it's because Kevin Nolan obviously using his contact well. Obviously a veteran, but he'll can be a bit of a role model of these players. So even just training there could help some of the youngsters get a bit better, whether they'll sign him or not. But no, I think it will be it'll be good to have around Sholo Amiobi. He's played at the highest level. He's a very well respected name in the game. So no, it's good move, I think, by Notts County.
Do you think he's someone that can actually offer anything anymore? Because I know he was at Bolton before, and he didn't really do much there. And I don't know what his wages would be like as well.
I think it's just that experience, really. I mean, as I say, helping up around the training ground. 35 years of age, obviously, and he's a big lad. He's obviously not going to be quick, but he can obviously, I think, offer that to get off the bench, especially the strength. So you obviously want to get loads of tons of goals out of him, but I think just having him around, that bit of experience, I think, can offer a bit of, I think, especially if it's on a short-term deal, I think he can just offer that bit of boost around the ground. But yeah, I think the strength as well coming off the bench, he can cause defence a bit of a nightmare.
Another story which caught my eye in League 2 as well, the Leighton Orient winger, Ulrich Nomo, he wanted to join Paris FC on loan. The club seemed happy, he seemed happy. But he's not allowed to because of FIFA rules. He played a reserve game for Châteauroux at the start of the season, and FIFA rules say you can only play for two clubs during a season. I guess this is a, this is an example of why that rule is a bit ridiculous, to be honest.
It's harsh, isn't it? I mean, it's very disappointing for all involved, especially the player as well. He wants to play football. I think obviously given the fact that I think it's a bit harsh, really. I really do. So the lad wants to play football, he really, and during him obviously wants to make a signing. So no, I'm very disappointed about that. I think it's very harsh, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my list of transfers. Is there anything you'd like to add? Any transfers that caught your eye?
Yeah, one from me, which you probably guess maybe. Brighton signing Tube Rap on the loan from Arsenal. He's a player I've always rated quite highly, actually. He's a very good youngster. He's got a bit of strength about him. He sort of runs the same mould as Benny Kabobo, really. He's a very good player, and I think he'll add to that. So we need another striker, and just to give us a bit more bodies going forward. And he'll certainly offer that, especially with pace, because obviously we've got Sam Baldock in at the moment, so there's not much pace going forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll move on and talk about a few stories from the Football League. Start with the Championship. At the top, Brighton remain top of the table because of a Kieran Clarke own goal last night. It was 2-2 in Newcastle's game against QPR. I watched it, and I thought it was quite a an aggressive game, an entertaining game.
Yeah, I didn't actually see the game. I saw the highlights and stuff. I'm very pleased to QPR getting a point. Done us a lot of favours, but no, it's defensive the action, because a lot of teams will go to Newcastle and roll over, so to come back twice is very good for the QPR. And it's a great cross at the end there by Luai.
Mm-hmm. Talk that Jonjo Shelvey might get another ban for kicking out as well. I thought he was a bit lucky not to be sent off because the referee didn't see the incident.
Yes, I have heard about that. And yeah, I think you might get a phone call from the FA any day now.
So Brighton are top of the table by 1 point ahead of their game with Huddersfield. You got high hopes for that game?
It'll be a very tough game tonight. They're very good. Huddersfield have proven how they're very strong, especially at home this season. It's obviously it's going to be cold up there. All your typical stereotypes of home to a Northern away game, so it'll be very tough. But I think over the course of the season, we've proven how we're a very good side. I think a point would be a good result. They just need to. I think we can get a point out there. But as I say, it'll be certainly a very tough game. Huddersfield are on a very good run of form as well. And are proving that they're a very good team this season, especially at home.
Just to finish with the Championship, Burton manager Nigel Clough has turned down the Nottingham Forest job, and he said that it's out of loyalty to stay at the club rather than all the off-field uncertainty. And I'm glad he's staying at Burton, to be honest.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? I mean, I think it's all expected him to go, given Barber's legacy and everything, considering the club much bigger club. But no, I think he's clearly passionate. Burton as a whole, they made some good signings, Burton now as well in this window. I think having him in will give everyone around the club a buzz, and it does give them a genuine chance of staying up.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing, if he left, that would be virtually that, wouldn't it? Okay, just moving on to League One, at the top of the table, Scunthorpe have won their last three games and are now top of the table. Bolton and Sheffield United have both picked up only 1 point each in their last three games.
Sheffield United they're on a bit of a funny run, aren't they? And I think they just need to say they lost 2-9 to Fleetwood last Tuesday, and it's a big blow, and it's given Scunthorpe, say that was a big win for them and support Vale, and it really gives them chance. So yeah, you've got the we presenting the other side of the show. You've got Sheffield United, you've got Bolton up there, but Scunthorpe really are looking like the real deal up there, and it's great for them given the size of clubs and stuff. And I think they're looking very strong, Scunthorpe, and I think they can probably go all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And also credit to Charlton, big win at Bolton on Saturday, it gives them a genuine chance of getting the playoffs as well.
Fleetwood as well in fourth place there on a club record and a 12-match unbeaten run, which they managed to preserve with a 1-1 draw with Sheffield United.
Yeah, great point for them. They're doing very well, Fleetwood. I think they're hoping that obviously over the years they've spent a lot of money. They're hoping this year will be their year. I think the 7 points, Brighton, so they've still got a really realistic chance of they've still got a realistic chance of getting to the getting the automatic promotion. So I think they've got a great chance of getting promoted out of division fleet with this year.
And also Northampton, they beat Coventry 3-0 with Keshi Anderson scoring a hat trick, but a lot of disruptions in that game, 9 arrests because of the game kept getting halted because of protests by the fans, and it's so sad what's happening with Coventry.
Yeah, it's just getting worse by the week, really, isn't it? And it's almost relegation sadly. People are coming sort of acceptance now. 8 points cut adrift. It's hard to look past them for the club, which is just disappointing, isn't it? And they're a big club. And as I say, I can't see any light at the end of the tunnel for them this season, which is just a little shame.
No, me neither. Going on to League Two, and I'll start with another bad story, really, with Morecambe. Their players haven't been paid, and their manager, Jim Bentley, has called it a mess. There's a transfer, a takeover deal, which is currently in progress, not completed yet, and I guess they're waiting to see what happens there, get that sorted out.
And again, that just adds need the stress on to the manager, to the players, because that makes the manager's job that extra bit more difficult when he's got to try and keep the players focused on playing football. But then obviously, at the end, they're all human beings, they've got to put food on the table for families, etc. So it makes the whole job a bit more difficult. But obviously, people love to say being football is the highlight and everything. When you're a League Two footballer, League One player, your main job is to make a living for your family. And when you've got this economy, it just adds on pressure as well. And it just makes everyone's job that just extra bit more difficult for them around the club.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He was saying as well that there's only so far you can get with goodwill and stuff, but eventually it's going to be a necessity to pay the players. So yeah, keep an eye on what happens there.
Absolutely.
Talking about the actual football in League Two, Doncaster won their fifth game in a row. They beat Yeovil 3-0, and now they're 7 points clear at the top of League Two.
Very big win, say, for Doncaster on Saturday Yeovil. They're looking very much on their way. And as I say, I think they're in very strong. So given the fact that they were in trouble last year, so that'll be just this fantastic turnaround at Doncaster. But I think, yeah, they're looking at, so what, are they 16 points now in the top three? I think they're almost already, you know what I say, already up.
Mm-hmm. And at the bottom of the table, Notts County beat Crawley Town 2-1. Notts County down to 10 men, and obviously, as we've said before, Kevin Nolan's come in as player manager, and a good start for him.
Yeah, good start indeed. Crawley obviously bring their over this course of the season. They're always a tough team to play against. Full credit to them, and so they're very close to that drop zone. So he'll just be focusing, just winning, just to get away from the dreaded time.
Yeah. Okay. I think we've reached the end of the show. Unless there's anything else you'd like to mention.
But again, more in times for Leighton Orient on the talk of relegation, a 2-0 defeat at Mansfield, and a big win for Steve Evans there. But Orient, as I say, there of course they're now really they're in the drop zone. We just have to hope they can travel. How put a run together and get out of this mess, because it's disappointing to see.
All right. Well, thanks for your time, Nick. I've appreciated it. Good to get you on the show tonight. Been a good show.
No worries, mate. No worries at all. Pleasure as always.
All right. Well, check us out. Check out our website. It's v2football.com, and also find us on Twitter at v2football. You can follow both of us. We're Anton Folesi and Nick Davey. I'll put the details in the description. Thanks for listening. It's good night from me and good night from Nick. Good night.
Good night.